Hello, and welcome to Two Pews in a Pod. Join us as we explore faith in a modern world at Evangelical Lutheran Church in Frederick, Maryland. Now, here is your host, Pastor Paul Baglios.
I'm Daniel Catalano, the Director of Music Ministries here at Evangelical Lutheran Church.
I am Vicar Megan Wyant, Director of Youth and Family Ministry here at Evangelical Lutheran Church.
And I am Pastor Paul Baglios. Welcome again to this podcast. And today, Megan and Daniel and I are here to talk about matters pertaining to the way in which women and men are formed and educated for public ministry leadership in the church. As many of you listening or watching this episode may be aware, Megan is a candidate for ordination in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and currently completing a seminary degree program at the Gettysburg campus of United Lutheran Seminary. And Daniel, as we always love to say, because the words are fun, is a postulant for holy orders of the Episcopal Church, completing his seminary degree program through, see if I get this right, the Pacific Divinity School.
It's the other way around. Church Divinity School of the Pacific.
Church Divinity School of the Pacific.
As long as you get one, at least one, in whatever order, just the words all there, it counts.
In Berkeley, California. And the three of us often talk about these matters, and we thought it might be of interest to listeners and viewers of this podcast. This is the first of four episodes that we are intending around this theme. And today we want to talk together about, as we think about our experience in seminary, those who have already completed, those who may still be in process, what do we assess in our lives was most helpful for us as far as equipping and preparing us for theological education in a seminary program and for the training of public ministry leadership? And we thought that we might talk about this in two broad categories, one of which is academic, what has been helpful academic preparation, but also larger life and church experience. And on that second, perhaps the more important category, I would say my mother. And I say that not simply as a matter of sentiment, but my mother was in so very many ways a formative influence in my life and my living. She was all of her life a woman of daily prayer. She was a woman of weekly worship attendance. And from as young as I can remember, I remember my mother teaching me to pray, my mother taking us to worship, being in worship with my mother, and growing up with the assumption that participating in the life of a community of faith was an important part of our own lives in the world. And so I would say that was really important formation for me. Long before I ever thought about seminary or began seminary, the way in which she had helped to form me as a person rooted in faith. And how about for either of you?
I think, in a way, you're onto something with it when it comes to the people around us being able to help form us and be the best examples and the best places to get information. So for me, and someone who didn't grow up Lutheran, who was going into seminary without the shared language, it really was finding individuals within the church who I spoke to and asked them what their stories were, and learning how they interacted with their faith, I think was the best for me, because really it was so much was unworking previous learnings and thoughts on my faith and on who God and Jesus were, and then learning this new language. And so, like learning Spanish or anything else, you need people who are native to that language to help teach you.
Yeah, thinking about these questions, or the two questions primarily, one for me sort of informed the other. And one thing, that bit of advice that I received early on was, I was really eager in my undergraduate studies to take every Christianity course, every religious studies course possible. And it turned out to be a minor in my bachelor's degree. However, the one bit of advice was to avoid those things.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, that if God called me and I answered, I would end up in seminary and be taking these classes. But something that I feel informed and formed me was living a life. And yes. I sort of say, I'm not saying that to just be, you know, complacent or to just be, you know, to just sort of scoff things. But I think so much of what ministry does, and I'm still learning and will continue to learn, is based off of a lived experience. The the wonderful experience that I'm having in seminary currently is that there are so many of us who have so many different experiences, so many different backgrounds, have had a lifetime of understanding. And so it's just living a full life, or living a life that has that isn't prescribed to that of seminary, that you didn't go to, you know, and this may be the case for some, but you know, that didn't go to a religious school and then graduate and major in religion and then graduate and then go to seminary. Like, there are other things that I think inform the life of Christian community and also inform us as those who will pastor to and walk with community. And so I would say, while there's a number of examples that I could think of, the number one thing I was really, really glad to have experienced was just my own just sort of non-religious life in that way.
Listening to you, and I want to ask a follow-up question. In addition to my mother, of course, my father, my siblings, my grandparents, they were all supportive, very important in my pre-seminary formation was the example of my own pastor. And yet, and this is what I want to ask actually both of you, when I had reached the point, this was during high school, that I began to say to people, I think I want to be a pastor. Everybody was supportive. Most people were surprised, pleasantly so, but they were surprised. But there had been no point in my life where anyone had been saying to me, you ought to think about being a pastor. And I know that is a part of formation for many people, the very explicit encouragement of others to, why don't you think about doing this? I did not have that experience, at least that I can recall. Did either of you?
No, I absolutely did not. I didn't grow up in a family that was particularly active in faith communities. And even, you know, as a young adult, was not particularly involved. And so this is something that was rather surprising. And yet, I think it was my younger sister who, when I said, can you believe I'm entering seminary? Like, what? She said to me, well, Megan, like, that doesn't surprise me. You've always had a wonder. You've always had a curiosity. You've always, you know, talked about your beliefs and trying to figure out what that means. So she was not surprised, but I never had anybody say, oh, you should. Even after working here and serving in youth and family ministry, when I first started, I knew I didn't want to be a pastor. So for me, a lot of my call in that preparation for seminary was figuring out what else was there besides being a pastor, because I knew that that wasn't it.
I could remember a few individuals, because I remember preaching, I think I gave my first sermon around 14 or 15, but out of an extraordinary circumstance, because
we
have a fun yin and yang.
Well, and it's curious though, because I didn't respond well to comments like that, because it almost just felt like a cliche. You're good. Because again, I was in theater at the time. I did a number of performing arts, so like being up front felt good. And I didn't really equate it to like, is this a call? It was kind of just like, it was a nice platitude. Like, oh, yeah. You're so. And so I just, even though I heard it, and it was probably meant, no doubt meant with some sense of genuine joy and sincerity, and really, you know, wanting to call someone. I was just like, okay, that's nice, thanks. Like, I mean, and I felt there was something there, but I just.
When 14 and 15, you know,
yeah.
You
were, oh my gosh,
the stage that you were.
Yeah, and like, oh, what are you gonna be when you grow? Oh, you should do this and this. And I was just like, that's. I mean, yeah, but now, like that, just this weird sense of that. So I think it's curious to your question, not only being asked or having that sort of validation, but then how one receives it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because I think of sort of the threefold affirmation of, you know, the call within yourself, the call you're hearing from community, and the call you hear ultimately from Almighty. And so it's curious then how each is received.
My best friend always said, and this was, she's, you know, we've been friends about the same amount of time I've been Lutheran, and all throughout it, she always said, oh, you know, you should actually. So I lied. I was wrong. She always said, but that was recent history. And, it's always interesting when people say that or see things in you. And she's also grew up Church of England and is, you know, an agnostic, I think, is what she would say, and, you know, doesn't come from that faith background, but saw something within me, that I, of course, didn't believe in.
Right. Well, and it's curious how memory then takes in, because, like, we probably at one point or another was told that an implicit comment, but then, like, how did we, were we ready to receive it, or maybe we weren't. You know, or maybe we didn't hear it in that way.
Oh gosh, this sounds
way.
A little bit like gospel right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something about soil and rocks.
Something. Yeah. Isn't there a sermon? I think that's later.
Well, we might shift to that other category that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. While academic study is certainly not all that is part of a seminary program or the training and formation of people for public ministry leadership, it is a component of it, and for Lutherans and for Episcopalians, as for many Christian traditions, there is a normative expectation that prior to entering seminary, you would have completed a bachelor's degree, thereby acquiring and deepening the abilities for some rigorous academic study, good skills of written and oral communication. You mentioned, and I'll say, that when I have been able to suggest, advise, or counsel people considering seminary after college and the question, what should I study in college? My answer is always, don't take religion classes.
Anything but that, right.
Because you will have the opportunity in seminary to study so much of that. In my case, I had elected to be a philosophy major, which has like no practical value in the world. But I went to college with the express intention then to go to seminary and would have done something altogether different. I don't know if I would have gone to college at all were it not for a determination to go to seminary. But it had seemed to me, from the little I knew at the time, that it would be good to study philosophy because that would prepare me for the study of theology. And I think that has been true. I have often also advise people, if they're asking this question, major in English. We use in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we speak of deacons as ministers of word and service and pastors as ministers of word and sacrament. But word is common to both of those. And I have often said to people, if you're going to be a public minister of the word, you must be a virtuoso of words. You must have command of language in writing and speaking. And majoring in English is a good way to try to cultivate that. But other people can choose anything. For Lutherans, there is no requirement. There is a requirement to complete a bachelor's degree, but there's no requirement as to what the major or the minor would be. Let's come back to you, because you talked about taking all the religion and Christianity classes you could. Did you take anything else?
No, well, no.
And was it helpful?
Well, I want to clarify. I wanted to, but I did not. So that was the, I think I came in perhaps doe-eyed, like, oh my goodness, I could take all of these religion classes as well. So I did not take that. But my major in, which should be of no surprise, was music composition for my bachelor's. And I was a liberal arts degree, so it was, you know, a little bit of everything at the start. But I will say, in my experience, that working as a musician, not only as a church musician, everything is collaborative. And I think, sort of nestled between these two questions that you have, I think often that God can make anything out of anything. And so, so however it works out, there seems to always be, not that there are no wrong answers, but it's, you know, even as a music major, working with people, figuring out communication, language, important, how to articulate, having that bachelor's degree, I think has certainly formed, and I have very much put into use, not only with my position here, but also moving forward. So,
how about for you? What did you do for your bachelor degree, and in what ways do you find that to have been good preparation?
Right. So I studied to be a teacher and knew I would want to be a teacher since I first stepped foot in a classroom in nursery school. And so my degree work was all in teaching, and my degree was in special education primarily. I wanted to figure out how to teach when it wasn't easy. But my calling and my deep calling is teaching. And so I also have a master's in curriculum and instruction, and educational leadership. And I would say that being able and learning from experts on how to teach, and how to hold space in a room, how to make space for those who, right, don't fit necessarily fit in, and look for problem areas has been a massive, help in all the ministry that I do. Is that grounding in teaching and how to teach. I think that's been, to me, that's been, the love of my life is teaching. So I'm really excited that this, right, I get, in ministry, I get to teach. Every day I teach. So I love it. I love everything about it. But it's been, that's been really helpful. I also took a lot of English. I love reading. I love poetry. I love Shakespeare. And so that helps, you know, with scripture reading, digging into those hard texts, looking for the poetry, looking for the allegory, looking for those things.
Well, my gratitude to both of you to be part of this conversation. Our gratitude collectively to all of you who have listened or watched. Our next episode in this series, the three of us again, we will talk about what we have or have so far experienced as the most impactful learning in our seminary programs. So that will be next time. Thank you for joining this podcast. I'm Paul Baglios.
I'm Megan Wyant.
And I'm Daniel Catalano. Thank you.
This has been Two Pews in a Pod, a podcast hosted by the lead pastor of Evangelical Lutheran Church in Frederick, Maryland. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.